T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Phil, Joe made you feel that way. Don't you lie. I was making sure you were okay. That's all.
It's funny because I pulled the audio yesterday to pass along to the good people at Chinchilla Construction. No. So I've had a chance to listen to it now multiple times. And in fact, you chop blocked me. It was an absolute cut block. I was trying to flow out on the play, and you came in from your tight end spot and just took me out at the legs.
Are you getting something for free now? Did you?
No,
you
of course
them?
Not. I could show you the change order. You want to talk about free? Let me show you the change order. I'll forward it to you.
That's why this guy's keeping the $1 million and not donating any of it. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 8 o'clock hour. It's Joe Low and Dibs, your boys, here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for riding shotgun with us. Greatly appreciated. As always, 1 hour from now, does Low know? Mystery guest will be on hold. He will have 10 questions in order to figure out who he is. He's been red hot. I would not bet against him. Jorge Sinano from ESPN to talk all things NBA at 9:30. That's where we're at. Here's where we are right now. $1 million was in the middle of the road. It was in a couple bags. Virginia family, husband, wife, two kids. They're in the pickup truck. They see the two bags. They think they're trash. This happened Saturday. They pick up the bags out of the goodness of their heart, throw them in the back of their pickup. Come to find out later, there's about $1 million in there. They call the authorities. They give it back. They don't keep it. None of it. Although they did say approximately $1 million, so maybe they skimmed a couple of dimes off the top and then figured out how to get them the rest later. Hey, I don't know what happened. $998,000. What do you want me to do about it, huh? I'm bringing you all this cash. Who's going to look? So essentially, there's where we're at. Now, it turns out it was the U.S. Post Office, according to the report, that lost the money. Someone was driving it to the bank to deposit. So you understand now why it costs so much for stamps and everything else with the U.S. Post Office. But that's neither here nor there at the moment. What would you do with the $1 million? Everyone here says they'd keep it. Lowe would at least give 10% to the church, but he's not paying taxes. Dib said he's not paying taxes. I'm probably keeping it. I'm not 100% on board with keeping it just yet. I live in fear that that would be drug money and someone would be coming for me. So essentially, it's do you want $1 million in exchange for having to look over your shoulder for how long? Like, how long would you need to go? If I assume that was drug money or someone very, very scary had lost that cash and was going to come looking for it, how long would you need to pass before you think it's safe? Like a year? 3 years? The rest of your life?
Closer to 10 years, I think. Woo. Because, you know, if it's, think about it, Joe, if it's $1 million that comes free from a nefarious drug individual, it's probably not the entirety of their empire, because that's, you're not going to roll with all of your assets in one bag in case something bad happens. But at the same time, it's not a tiny, small amount of money. So, you know, there's going to be some interest, but over a period of 3 to 5 years, I would imagine that this organization would have made enough subsequent millions to be able to let it go and just chalk it up to a business loss.
Would you rather it be post office money or drug dealer money, Dibs?
Post office, without a doubt.
That's a great question. Stealing from the taxpayers or stealing from a drug dealer?
I would rather steal from the government, because let's say they find out in 6 months' time. I get this money. I'm smart with it. I don't tip them off. But somehow they find out in 6 months' time. I've socked a little bit away. I've spent some, but the jig is up. I like my chances against the government in that scenario better than I like it against a nefarious gangster. As far as what the worst case scenario is, the government says, you clearly knew it was our money, you broke the law, you're going to prison for 10 years, let's just say, as opposed to, hey there, Red, that's our money, you knew it was our money, now we're going to have to give you the old Colombian necktie. I'd rather go 10-year stretch than I would swim with the fishes.
See, I'm on the opposite side. Go ahead, Joe.
Are you? That's my breakdown.
You'd rather steal from the drug dealer, huh?
Yeah, because if it's the post office, I'm not.
It's lose-lose.
No, because with 1,000%, I'm turning it in. If it's the post office, I'm turning in because I know it's who they are. Now, if it's a drug dealer, someone, they, for one, they ain't necessarily going to make any sense. So I think the drug dealer, I wouldn't. That's the one that I would not turn it in. The post office, you're too scared. I guarantee you guys are more apt to turn it in for the post office. You say that now, but it was only, if you knew that it was the post office compared to if you don't know, guarantee you guys would feel more comfortable keeping it with the drug dealer than the post office.
See, you know what? The more we're talking about this, the more I don't think I'm keeping it. And it's not through any sort of like sense of goodness or sense of what's right and wrong. I don't want to deal with the loss of I don't want to deal with the headache. I don't think I want to deal with the anxiety that comes from that. I don't think $1 million is worth it. We're talking 10 mil. Now we'll have a conversation, but we're talking $1 million. It's like, is that going to be worth me constantly looking over my shoulder? I know I can't spend that cash willy nilly, right? Like I can't go walking into a casino betting $500,000 on black. That's going to raise some attention. That's going to raise some thoughts. If I'm walking around all of a sudden, if I'm driving a Ferrari, that's going to raise eyebrows. Like people are, and you can't just go deposit it in the bank account. And then where am I going to keep it? Small apartment, two kids. I can't just have $1 million in cash sitting around. And then what happens if work gets out? Someone knows that. Someone comes in, they're going to try to break it and get it. It's like it's not enough money to quit. You have to keep working. So I'm sitting here talking to you two, watching one guy eat a radish, trying to figure out what the next conversation is as I'm staring at this closet that may or may not have $900,000 in it. I don't know. It's too much. I don't know if I'd want it for the anxiety. Let's go to Anthony in Concord. Anthony, thanks for the phone call. What are you doing with that cash? You find $1 million in the road.
All right. Well, first off, I just want to let you guys know, with my law enforcement background, it's 100% legal. If you find a bag like that with a bunch of cash, no markings or anything, it's 100% legal to keep that.
Just really?
Yes, thank you. Hey, thank you, brother. So don't call me a sinner. Thank you. Go ahead.
No. That's not how that works.
It turns out the church isn't getting 10% after all, now that it's no longer a crime.
My God.
I'm still giving it to the church. Go ahead. Let Anthony finish.
All right. So, Anthony, what are you doing?
So I kind of agree with the last bit of the conversation. I think it's kind of risky. I don't want the anxiety, you know, just who's going to come after it later. So I think I would try to find a way to keep it safe. Don't touch it for like 5-10 years until things kind of seem okay, and then I'd be okay to just go spend it at that point once everything kind of seems clear.
One other thing, if you find that cash, you said it's legal to keep it. What if a week later the announcement goes up that it is the post office? Do you have an obligation to turn it in at that point?
But it'd be really hard to prove that you were in the know, because you have to have the intent. It all comes down to intent. So if you didn't know, I mean, it's really hard to really nail you on that.
All right. Appreciate the insights and the phone call. So now all of a sudden it's looking like it's your money.
Does it change you?
Right. So great.
Does it change now, Joe? Do you change a little bit now, brother? After hearing that. See, that's that moment, because
yeah,
I want to
pay the taxes.
Now I feel
better. Yeah, but you got to pay the taxes. If I could grab the mill, and it's like, this is now legally yours, I think the first thing I'm doing is paying the taxes so I can just enjoy the cash. That's the thing.
Okay,
I don't want to be looking over my shoulder.
Would you pay the taxes now, Dib, since you know it's okay? That you just, once you heard that, now you say, okay, I can pay the 27%. I'll pay my taxes.
No, absolutely not. Because so you find the million, you realize it's, quote, okay, and so you're going to pay taxes on it, and the IRS is going to go through the Fortinbaugh taxes and say, whoa, gross adjusted income, this looks higher than last year. I wonder why. Flipping through the pages, here's a line item for a mill. It's like, huh. Didn't we lose $1 million in that very neighborhood some 7 months ago? So all of a sudden now it's going to circle back around to where, hey, you found this million, you knew it was ours, now you've got real problems. You got to stay OTG with that money, and that's off the grid.
Gary and Tracy. Gary, thank you for the phone call. What would you do with the $1 million if you found it in the middle of the road?
I think I agree with you. I think I would turn it in. Just wouldn't want to be looking over, you know, the rest of my life over my shoulder. And I wouldn't really expect a reward, but I guess if I would want one, I guess I would ask for, if it was a post office, I guess a lifetime job with the post office. But yeah, I would definitely turn it in. And thank you guys. You guys are awesome. You guys are hilarious. The banter back and forth, how you guys clown on each other is just awesome. Thank you for making this whole pandemic deal easy, at least while at work listening to you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know what? This is I'm calling BS on all this. All these guys calling up today talking about how great we are. This is your classic. Yeah, I'm keeping the money, but I want to say something nice about how awesome you guys are so I feel better. That's a shower on the way out the door. That's a shower take. If anyone hasn't noticed, they're showering on their way out the door. They're dirty with their commentary. Every one of these people, yeah, I'd keep it. By the way, you guys are so great. Thank you so much for everything you do. No, we're not. We all know that. So let's be clear. You can't come in talking about how you want to keep the money and then you say something nice on the way out the door just so you can feel better about the fact that you're keeping the cash. I'm on to you people. You smell. I can smell you.
You're being mean to people, Joe.
You're the same way. Oh, I'll give 10% to the church just to make you feel good. That's more about making you feel okay about keeping that money than it is about making the church feel good.
Wait a minute. We just had someone come on, law enforcement, that has a law enforcement background, and said it's legal. You can keep the money. So don't make me feel guilt me into feeling something away. I feel better now, Joe. Matter of fact, Joe, I feel better. You hear me? I feel better.
What would God tell you to do? Let me ask you something. What would God tell you to do with that cash?
WWJD, man. I can see it on the bracelet right now.
I'd love to know. What would God say? If there's that $1 million in the road, what would God's decision be?
Well, I'll tell you right now. Abraham had a son. Isaac was his only one. And he took him to the mountaintop because he was going to make a sacrifice. The ram wasn't his, but he said, look over there. There's a ram in the bush. On that day, he called him, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That ram wasn't his. So you know what? That ram wasn't his in the bush. That was probably someone else's, but he used it.
Yeah, so last I checked, God's name wasn't Abraham. So I'm going to go back to the original question.
Isaac,
God,
Abraham, not ram Abraham. In a bush. That was crazy.
I don't care, Abraham. I didn't ask you about Abraham or Isaac. I asked you about God. What would
or a
God
ram
do?
Or a bush.
God's not going to tell you to keep that money.
He just gave them a ram, so that wasn't his ram. So I'm saying that wasn't my money, so that might have been a blessing. You got to look at it as someone's, could it be a blessing for you to bless other people? That's why I'm giving the 10%. That's why I'm helping other people. That's why I feel better about myself now after I had law enforcement tell me that you can keep the money and it's not illegal. I even feel better about myself. Lord would want me to keep that money. Yes, he would.
Yes, sir, he would. Yes, indeed.
I don't think that's right at all.
I don't think so either.
That does not sound like the God I've been told about for 39 years.
Now, I told you now, if it's the post office, I'm telling you, it's different. Now, if it's someone like that, if I do, I can bless someone, I'm blessing someone. So I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
Something smells, and it ain't that grilled cheese cooking on the forehead.
No, and it's not the great smell of the incense that wafts up from the church during that Sunday service. It's not that smell either.
Hey.
Thank you, Kalena.
Look at all these people. Oh, my God.
Are they lining up to jump in?
Yeah, it's all these people. They're all coming in. We're going to see. We're really going to find out a lot about humanity today. Couple in Virginia with their two kids on Saturday, driving down the road. They think they see two bags of trash. They throw it in the back of their pickup. They continue on. When they get home, it turns out they found about $1 million in cash. So they called the authorities and turned it in. And according to reports, it's the post office money. They lost it on the way to the bank. So these people found the post office money, and they've turned it in. What would you do? 888-957-9570. Jeff in Vacaville. Jeff, welcome to the show. What are you doing with that $1 million?
I'll tell you what I do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Jeff in the Ville bringing it.
That's a real one, as they say. That's a real one.
That's is a straight up walk-off, you know, from the 707.
I'd be scared. I'd be scared of holding on to that money with the drug dealer, so I'd probably call my lawyer, see, get some good advice. I'd have to go down that road and do it the right way. After the two chicks at the same time first.
All right.
Priorities.
Yeah, that's probably the most honest answer we've gotten today.
The Lord helps those who help themselves. That's in that book of yours, Lo.
Rick and San Ramon. Rick, you keeping the money? What are you doing?
Man, first off, good morning, fellas. And second of all, I don't care if it's a gangster, a drug dealer, Uncle Sam. I'm keeping that money.
Go ahead.
I'm paying off mom's house. I'm paying my kids' college tuition. You know, I got to do it, man. Times are tough out here. I got to keep that money.
Appreciate that phone call.
Rick and the Moan.
Yeah, keeping it honest, though. Keep it real.
Bay Rob.
Keeping it real in the Moan.
Bay Rob, San Francisco, what are you doing? You find that $1 million in the middle of the road. What are you doing with it?
I'm keeping it, bro. I'm keeping it real. Hey, y'all is funny. Y'all is funny as I don't know. I'm just sitting here laughing at y'all. I'm keeping it. Hey, but Jolo and Diz, just my whole thing. What was the driver thinking? Because if you got $1 million, How do the hell you lose $1 million? I'm guarding that with my life if I know that's on my truck. How did that get off the truck? So what was his thought?
That's a great point, too. There's so much you can actually dive into when you get past the ethics of all of this. Like, number one, was that the only $1 million? Was this guy tasked with taking $1 million and transporting it from point A to point B? Because if that's the case, you're right. How the hell do you let that out of your sight? You're going to look at that more than you're going to look at the road. But was it part of $10 million? $20 million? Also, why are people driving money to complete transactions? Can't we just do this stuff digitally?
Right.
Like, who puts a bunch of money in a car and then drives somewhere and hands it to someone? I don't think I've handled money like that in 10 years.
Yeah, and this goes back to, is it Goodfellas when they talk about the Lufthansa heist? And,
oh, yeah.
And they go in there and it's like, whatever, $8 million in cash or whatever the money is. And I guess they still, and that had to be in the 80s when that scene was supposedly set, or even the 70s, quite frankly. But I guess they still do move money along in that fashion. But I'm like Bay Rob. If I was a post carrier and I was driving around with $1 million in a couple of bags, I'd make sure that all the doors were closed in my mail truck and that there's no possible way that that could, what, spring out when you hit a speed bump, all of a sudden the bag's on the road?
Like, how often are you driving around and stuff falls out of your car? I would say never. Like,
almost never.
In my car, I'm trying to think of stuff that's fallen out. And, like, how is $1 million going to fall out of a car? Right. You think at the very least you put it shotgun, you put the seatbelt around it, right? Like, you figure out a way to keep it somewhat secure. The first thing you got to be thinking when you get that $1 million, when they're like, hey, Ted, come here. You're taking the mail from here to the post office. You got it? First thing is like, all right, the only thing I need to do is not lose this money. I can crash this car. I can get pulled over for speeding. I can be late. I can be crazy early. I can go to the wrong location, then redirect. I can do so many things wrong here, but the one thing I can't do is lose this money. And then the guy goes out and he does just that. He loses his money. Something suspicious here. Post office money. What's post office doing with all this cheese? Moving it around in cash. Well, since when does the post office deal in cash anyway? Stamps are like 35 cents. Why you got $1 million in bills? Why aren't they moving around like 20K in quarters? That would be more believable to me. Post office having $1 million. When was the last time they generated that type of revenue? Where's that $1 million coming from?
Right, right.
People just need a bunch of envelopes these days?
Yeah, maybe they're just at home, stuck at home, so they said, we need to buy more envelopes. You know you've lost money in Vegas so many times, Joe, 300, 400, just dropped out of your pocket. We're drunk. You open your pocket, dibs, you've been there. You
pull
out,
man.
Money fall out. You're like, where'd my money, a couple hundred? Is anyone getting that back to you? Are you thinking about that? How many times that happened?
One of my best friends in the world is a great blackjack player. He's got a system. He's a winning blackjack player, so he wins when he plays. But he loves to tie one on. Like, he can still count cards even after pounding rum and cokes. Like you wouldn't believe. I have seen this fool on a Saturday at the Mandalay Bay, the week one of the NFL. If you remember a few years ago, I want to say maybe 2012, 2013, the Niners went to Lambeau and won week one. Colin Kaepernick and the Niners won. That weekend, we were in Vegas. We were at the Mandalay Bay. We had dinner on Saturday night. We watched college football. He starts playing blackjack. I had to work a little bit the next morning because it's an NFL Sunday. So eventually I say goodbye to him like 11 at night, 12. I'm going to go get some sleep. I go up, I go to sleep, I wake up the next morning, I do work, and then I come down, and it's like, all right, NFL's getting ready to start. This is great. I know him from way back, so I'm sure he's still playing straight through the night. I find him, and he's still playing. He's by himself. He's a mess. He's been drinking all night. He's probably had a gallon of rum, and it's his birthday. And I actually look at him at one point when I see him, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's a wreck. He's like, hey, by the way, happy birthday. And he looks at me, he goes, huh? What day is it? I'm like, it's Sunday. It's Sunday morning. NFL's starting. Let's go get seats in the book. No, I got And then just tone me out. But he wins. He can still win. He's got a story. I was not there for this, where he was at the MGM Grand, where he was up like 14,000 bucks. He was so drunk, he went to the bathroom. He could not find his way back to the table. He never got the money. He was so drunk, he got lost in the casino. He went to the bathroom. He could not find his way back to the table. He had like 12, 14 grand, something like that, on the table. He was crushing it. He never went back. So there's just a drink and all those chips, and the guy never comes back to the table. Like, imagine that. Like, if you're sitting at that table, you can't keep it. I'd imagine the dealers might take it as a tip. Who knows? Yep. But, yeah, never found, couldn't find his way back to the table. He was so drunk. Just that was it. So, yeah, in Vegas, whew. Like, if I find this million in the middle of the street, I'm probably going to look at it and go, all right, I don't know whose cash this is, but here's how this is going to play. I am running into the casino and I'm putting the whole thing on black right now. And if black hits, then come on, drug dealers, you want your million back. I got you. I got my own million now. I'm good. And if I lose it, what do you want to do? It's Vegas. Sorry. They went to the house. You shouldn't have dropped that cash on Las Vegas Boulevard. You know better than that. Look around this place. You got transformers, homeless people, people all over the place causing problems.
That's Jeff, not bad. I think I would go off strip, though, to a, maybe a classy place like you go to Ellis, old Ellis Island. Yeah, and you just set up residence there for about 3 months, Joe, and you just kind of paper cut your way through the million. You really make it stretch out off strip.
He's going to live at Ellis Island for like 3 months. Instead of, how about this?
They got
instead
a
of
hotel,
gambling
they got
at
a hotel,
Ellis Island,
they got
why don't you
food?
Just buy Ellis Island? You can buy it for the $1 million.
Make sure they turn all the cameras off. It's untraceable. They'll never look for you at the island. It'd be such a great place to be anonymous.
That's a girly, nice establishment for you guys to sit there and poo-poo on my, one of my favorite
places. I'm not poo-pooing. I'm recommending it.
You went there because Harris beat you up so bad. nice guy. What would you do?
I'm taking it. Of course I'm keeping it. Every single time we have this conversation, you ask me, I'm going to keep it.
What are you doing with it?
I don't know. I'd be so stupid. I would probably buy myself a briefcase with the own savings that I already have, and I would put the $1 million in there, and then I could say, hey, yeah, I got $1 million in a briefcase. I would stash it in the walls. I would do a whole bunch of stuff with the $1 million before I even spend it. I'd be stupid.
Okay. You could be like that guy in Training Day when they have to tax him. You wrap it up in those vacuum-sealed red bags, and then you put it in a chest.
Exactly.
And then you bury it under your kitchen floor.
Bury it in the floor. Exactly.
It's like, you know how much work that is? First of all, I'm not handy. I don't know how to use any of that. So you got to do all that for what? Just to bury $1 million in your kitchen? You don't even want to spend it? Why not just give it back? I'd rather just give the million to the church. Here you go. You guys can do more with this than I can. I'm just going to put it underneath my kitchen. Terrible. Jeff and Marin. Jeff, what would you do with that cash? You find $1 million in the middle of the road like this family in Virginia. What are you doing?
I think I'm going to turn it in, but there's a couple reasons why. One, I don't think there's a tax consequence for that. I don't think it doesn't get taxed as income or as a capital gains. Secondly, you turn it into the cops. I think they let put a notice up, but if nobody claims it, if it's some dope dealer, they're sure as hell not going to claim it, and then you get it back in full. Now, the thing is, if my, you know, I want my name to be anonymous here as the finder when I get that money back, because otherwise I don't want some guy coming, hey, you know, you got our money, I'm going to have to get it back, you know what I'm saying? I don't want that.
That's how that'd play out, huh? Here's it. First of all, I find it very hard to believe that this would not be taxable money. Okay? This country is taxing everything. So if that's the case, if this is not taxable, I'm renegotiating my deal with this company. I don't want direct deposit. Just throw my money in the street. Right. You know what I'm saying? Every other Friday, you throw my money in the street at a predetermined location. I'll go pick it up and we'll all skip the taxes if that's the case. That's how you pay me from now on. Alex in Livermore, what are you doing with the money? You find $1 million in the street. You turning it in?
You know what, Joe? You said that it was from the post office. They are insured. I'm keeping the money.
It's a great uptick. Really strong.
They're insured.
Insured. And banks are, too. And, you know, FDIC. So if the bank happened to have lost it, if a Brinks truck pops open and money pops out of the back of a bank vehicle, it's the same thing. Insured by the FDIC. And $1 million, that's like a pimple on the buttocks of our government. They'll be able to recover from that thing quite easily.
Would you tell, how about this, if you found it by yourself, this is from the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. If you were just by yourself and you found it, would you tell your wife?
Well, she's about 7 feet away right now, listening via the radio.com app. So I'm going to say yes, Joe. I absolutely would tell
John
her.
John would take all that money and she would say, she'd tell you, give me the bag.
Laura, are you telling D?
Probably not. I just think that my reasons are different because I just rather them not know, because sometimes women, they panic or like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the mother and instinct. So what I'm saying is I'd be like, hey, look, wouldn't do it. Still take care of them. But sometimes you know what finances, sometimes you're in a financial situation Now, you don't even tell them, hey, I got to deal with this, I got to deal with that, because you don't want to add stress. Sometimes, hey, got loans, got certain things due.
Had the bangles at 4 o'clock, didn't work.
Why are you in such a bad mood, you know, watching this Bengal game, Joe?
Cincinnati plus 11, these bombs are getting run.
Thank you. You know what I'm
saying? You wouldn't tell Nikki either, would you, Joe? Just to protect her. I think Lowe's making a good point about protecting
our
lives.
Yeah, to protect her. Yeah, that's it. I wouldn't tell her to protect her. That is the reason, because I would want to protect her. That's unbelievable.
How about you, same dibs? You see why, right, dibs?
Do you guys think they both just straight up agreed at the same time, yeah, we're going to turn this in? Like, one of them had to have thought, I want to keep this money.
There's so many lies in this story, from how this money was found to how it was lost to who lost it to how it was reported. I don't believe any of this. This paints humanity in a really good light. And if there's one thing I know about humanity, it doesn't operate like this. Okay? I've seen plenty of humanity. I see dogs off leashes every day right in front of a sign that says put the dog on a leash. We can't handle that. You're telling me we can handle this? Uh-uh. No way. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're still packed on this. We'll take your calls. 888-957-9570. Virginia family finds $1 million in the middle of the road. They turn it in. What are you doing? And let's pretend you find it by yourself. Are you telling the missus or the mister, whoever it may be? 888-957-9570. We hear the word essential, and we've been hearing it a lot lately. It's a word that's taken on a whole new meaning. Products that we used to take for granted, soup, soap, disinfectants, who puts soup in there, are actually essential. The reality is that right now, millions of Americans don't have the essential things they so desperately need. So Unilever is donating products like Dove and Best Foods to Feeding America and Direct Relief. It's part of Unilever's National Day of Service on May 21st, and they invite you to join them. Get involved at WeAreUnitedForAmerica.com.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs.
God, that's what passes for radio when you're not around, Joe.
On 95.7, The Game.
All right, you charlatans, let's see what you're made of. 888-957-9570. Family in Virginia on Saturday, driving around, they find two bags of what they think is trash laying in the road. They pick it up, they throw it in the back of their pickup, they head on their merry way. They come home, they find out it's $1 million. $1 million, so what do? They call the authorities and turn in the cash. And according to the report, it looks like the cash belonged to the U.S. Post Office. They dropped it, lost it. They were on their way to dropping it off at the bank. Lots of suspicious stuff here, but where are you at? We want to know what you would do with that cash. 888-957-9570. Would you keep it? Would you turn it in? Would you skim a little off the top? Would you pay the taxes? And let's pretend you found it and you were by yourself. Would you tell the missus? Would you tell your significant other? 888-957-9570. Real quick, from the 650 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Joe, I have decided I am texting every day until your listeners' Monopoly tournament that you have been hiding from, Jordan, the Monopoly King, San Francisco, day two. I've seen your tweets. I've seen your texts. I'm not hiding. I'm literally doing the opposite of hiding. You know who I am, where I live, and where I am every single day, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10. You also know I like to take my evening stroll from about 7:30 to 8:30 through Mission Bay every day of the week. Literally the opposite of hiding. You want a Monopoly tournament? Bring it on. Your boy's not hiding from anybody. You're hiding. I got your first name, and I know nothing else about you outside your phone number. Me? You know where I'm at. I'm here. I'm waiting. People, everyone's got a comment. That's why I'm honest. Everyone's got a comment.
I wonder how many texts it'll take until you break down and actually let this guy through. And how many days do you think he can stay with this? Because it's easy to say I'm going to text you every day. You think he lasts more than five consecutive shows?
What's he going to get out of it? I just told him I'm right here. And see, this is the thing. Everyone wants to take my Monopoly title, top five worldwide, and everyone wants a shot at it. Yet what? You want me to set the tournament up? So I got to set the tournament up. I got to invite you. I'd imagine I have to incur all the expenses so that you get a shot at my title. It's not how it works. The rules are very simple. They're the same rules used in Karate Kid 3. I won the All-Valley tournament, so I wait for you in the finals. I just show up. okay? I don't put on the tournament and work my way through the bracket. I just show up and fight in the finals like Daniel LaRusso against who was the bad guy in the third one? Johnny was the first one. Second one, nobody knows. Third one.
They lost me after the first one.
I want to say it was like Mike Lawrence or something. Something like that. Some obvious name. Whatever. Let's see where these people are at on the cash. All of us are keeping it. That's what it's come down to. 735 East Palo Alto. What are you doing? $1 million lying in the road. You keeping that cash?
Hey, good morning, fellas. First off, appreciate you guys taking the call. Love you guys. Got nothing but love for you guys and appreciate all you guys have been doing throughout this time. So, like three times crazy, man, I got to keep it real. I'm keeping that cash, letting the missus know because I ain't trying to get in the doghouse and not see any of that cash for myself. So, got to let her know, taking care of the kids, taking care of grandma, family, everybody I can, you know, that's just how we do it. Real quick on my way out, if you guys don't mind, I just want to say a quick happy birthday to my beautiful son. Just how proud I am, how much I love him, and just appreciate the great young man that he is already. So,
what's his name?
I love you, Antonio. I'm out, guys.
Antonio. Lo, you want to give him a happy birthday?
Yeah, absolutely. Love to, man. That's awesome. Will you tell me when, what time you want to do it?
You can do it right now. We haven't done one all week. The people love it. They love it when you sing for them.
Antonio, right?
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Antonio. Happy birthday to you. How old are you? How old are you? How old are you? How old are you? Happy birthday, Antonio.
Yeah. Really nice. Really nice. He does that for free, people, out of the goodness of his heart. He'll keep the million, but he'll sing you a birthday song. 888-457-9570.
Won't even charge you either for the birthday tune, yeah. You know?
I'm 100% telling Nikki about that cash, by the way. And again.
Why?
Again,
why?
Not
protect
out of
her.
Because now she's complicit. Now she's in on it, coach. She knows. So she has no avenue of recourse other than to agree with what I decide for the money. Or we can work on it together, but you can't work against me. You're not going to turn me in. Once she knows about that cash, she's in just as deep as I am. That's the key.
But why can't you just do nice things for her and get her things without involving her? If something were to go down and go awry, why would you have her involved? Now her heart, she's a mother, and now you put her and your kids at stake. Why would you just not be the bigger man and say, you know what, I got this. I'm going to do some nice things for you. Why? Don't worry about it.
Because I know how the world works. And let me tell you how the world works in this situation. If the world is going to put $1 million in cash in front of me on the road, and I am going to pick that cash up and make that cash mine, within a week, I will be struck dead with a heart attack. That's how the world's going to come for its pound of flesh. It's going to dangle the mill, and it's going to say, here you go, foreign ball. Big opportunity for you to have some fun. And then, lo and behold, is all just a ruse. Egg shoe beat it. I'm dead via heart attack. Or maybe it's a case of diabetes that went previously unchecked. Who knows? But God's okay, taking me out right after I get that cash. She needs to know where that cash is so she can enjoy it. That's essentially another life insurance policy. There's no way I'm finding that cash and then things are going to continue to break right for me. You know what I'm saying? You find $1 million in the road, karma's gone. You got no good luck left. It's over. You've used it all up.
Joe, I have a safe deposit box, and you could do this. You could always give it to your attorney and have something on your death. You have a safe deposit box. If you have certain coins, certain things you don't want to distribute, and you leave it in there, the safe deposit box, they're going to go know where to go. You could do it certain ways that still would protect the innocent. That's what I think, too, Dippers.
Yeah, I'm, right. I'm in the same church, same pew as you. Yeah, I'm not letting her know. I might tell her, hey, you know, I had a good day at the track today. I won 380 in the – I hit the pick six today, 380 grand. It was mandatory payout at Aqueduct, you know. Oh, how about that? Let's celebrate.
Right.
Not that she sounds like that, but just for the sake of the bit. But I'm certainly not going to tell her because, you know, if I bring her in on it, then it's going to be the we should give it back. We should turn it in. We should do the right thing. It's like, man, if I just would have kept it to myself and said, hey, I won the pick six 3 days in a row. Who knew?
The
boy's
nervous.
Running hot.
Right.
They
get nobody caps horses
right?
Like
can't
this guy.
Stop me, kid.
I'm winning.
winning. I'm winning. I'm at the track.
The pick six, 3 days in a row.
Right. I'm up about a million. I'll have to add it up, but I'm not sure. I'm doing pretty well. You know.
That was
don't
like
even go to the
what
track.
What was the story? Whitey Bulger, I believe his crew out of Boston, they had won like the state lottery like 15 times.
Right,
that was part
right.
of the thing because what they would do is they would find the lottery winners and they would just come, pay them cash, then they would take the lottery ticket, turn it in, and then boom, now all that money's been washed and you're good. So they might even pay on the top end. So they find out local Boston family wins like $50,000 in the lottery. They yeah. might come and give them $100,000. Just so that they can turn in the ticket, and then that $50K is legal money. Whitey Bulger yeah. apparently won the lottery like 30 times in Massachusetts. There's nothing they could do about it. I'm almost positive it was him. I know it was some gangster, but it was a genius play. I mean, highly suspicious. Luckiest guy in the world hitting
seriously.
The lottery 30 times. Jonathan in San Francisco, our favorite postman. Jonathan in San Francisco and postman in Capitola, two of our favorite mailmen out there. Jonathan, what's going on here? Does the U.S. do you move millions for the U.S. Post Office?
Well, you know, they don't disclose, but I've seen those bags. And, you know, if it's U.S. Postal Service property, it will be in a cloth bag, pretty thick. And that bag would have a leather belt right at the end to close it up, and it would have a lock. And it would say in the bag, property of the U.S. Postal Service. Tampering, damage, stealing, blah, 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 will result in a very medieval punishment. So if it's in that bag, I'm doing what the folks did, because you know why? It's Big Brother property. Big Brother finds out. You know how Al Capone went down is because of the Big Brother. Regular folks like you and me were no match, you know. They will find out and we're going to get punished. But if it's in a trash bag, I'm keeping that money. And nobody will find out even the missus. Because if the missus finds out you got extra money, you know what the missus does to extra money? It becomes a purse. And that purse is in multi-colors because it has to match the shoes. So if I find that money and It's in a regular bag. I'm keeping it. Nobody else finds out about it.
Remarkable.
Great performance.
Just a remarkable piece of information right there on every single level. I don't doubt that man for a second. There was never a word he uttered in that last minute and a half that would make me suspicious of anything. All that felt straight from the heart. Well, how's the U.S. Post Office just walking around with millions? Where are they getting this from? I thought they were in trouble.
Right. But you were right, though, Joe. That's why that whole story is suspicious, because what Jonathan just alluded to, that it has a lock, so they must have opened it, for one. Two, it says property of the U.S. Postal Service. So if that's the case, like you're just talking about, then they had no other choice. They felt, man, when you see that, you read that, you're like, I ain't keeping this. Now I know I can be prosecuted. So when you've seen that in the bag, like Jonathan was saying, this story does sound fishy. That's why now, if that's the case, then you're turning that in.
And the whole idea that they thought that it was garbage. I've been driving around these streets for darn near 35 years, and I've come upon many, many bags of garbage in the road, and there hasn't been one occasion where I've run over a bag of garbage and thought, huh, I should pick up that bag of garbage. Now, if it's a... If we're talking about like a canvas duffel bag or a suitcase or something, and you run that over, it's like, oh, shoot, maybe I'll go grab that and pull that out of the road. I've done that a few times, but never what I've deemed to be a, quote, bag of garbage. So that's where I think that this story gets to be really dubious.
Picking up garbage.
Right?
like, here's how this works. You don't pick up the garbage. In New Orleans, you get the drive-through daiquiri, you pound it, you throw it out the window. That's how it works.
Pretty much.
You create the garbage. You don't pick up the garbage. Now, a lot of people are going to take that seriously. Again, we're just having fun and making some jokes today. So don't go to the EPA and report me on that one. G-Man in Dublin. G-Man, what are you doing with the cash? $1 million in the middle of the road. Are you keeping it? Are you telling the missus? G-Man.
He's gone. G-Man fell asleep.
How do you know? Maybe he could still be there. How?
I don't know.
What information
there,
do you have that I don't?
The same information you have, and the sucker ain't said nothing, and you said G-Man three times, he's gone. He's out.
Marquise, Santa Clara. Marquise,
G-Man.
What are you doing with that money?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I'm keeping that money, man. I'm a garbage man out here, and I'll tell you, I told the producers there. Hey, we found about 2 years ago at a smart station in Sunnyvale, there was over $700,000 there.
We turned in nothing but about $1,200. So, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Back this up. Back this up. Back this up. This is a great story. Hold on.
Okay, hold on.
Everyone bring this down. So tell me something. Wait, you're working as a garbage man and you find $700K. What happened here?
So what had happened was a buddy of mine in his truck had gotten the money. He was picking up downtown Sunnyvale. And we go and dump at the smart station in Sunnyvale. So we're dumping it. It's an indoor dump. The bags get they sort it out on the conveyor belt. So they're sorting it out, literally raining money, raining $100 bills and $20 bills and everything. And guys are in there trying to grab the money. Two of the sorters upstairs take $70K home each. You know, I unfortunately didn't get that much, but I mean, yeah. When all we reported was about like $1,200 to the police. And
keeping it real. Thank you, brother.
Man, like seagulls and a leftover Subway sandwich. Everything gone but the last little bit of crust.
$700,000 and they turn in $1,200. Just go the distance. Just finish the marathon at that point. Crawl your ass across the line and get there. $1,200. Hey, we found $1,200. Did the police even care about that? Are they even going to show up and fill out a report for that?
They were scrambling there like cockroaches, getting that money dips. People fighting, jumping over. You, if 700,000 raining 100, do you know how fast?
And you can see it on that conveyor belt where the garbage goes in and it goes through and they're sorting it, and all of a sudden somehow the bag breaks open and now we got bills and we've got like a beehive of bills, hundreds and twenties, and these guys are running and grabbing fistfuls. Somebody walks with 70K, a couple sorters. That's not a bad come up at the day of the office.
Oh my God.
$70,000 come up.
Woo. That's a great story.
Dibs, you would take that money. You'd be like that reconstruction of that garage would be.
Just about covers it. Quite frankly, yeah. I could pay in third hand garbage money that I picked up as a sorter. Hey, where'd you get this money? Don't worry about it. It stinks a little bit, but it spends just fine.
This is a weird looking extension to a house. What's it made out of? I found it. It's made of money. Jeremy's in the Mita. Jeremy, what are you doing with that cash? If I did $1 million in the road, are you turning it in?
Come strong, Mita.
No way, Jose. I'm going to keep that money. I'm going to pay off my debt, my family's debts, get some property, invest in some stocks. Well, maybe not right now because of COVID. But hell yeah. And what doesn't make sense either is like, so I work at the post office, and I've never been asked knowingly to transport money in my truck. And stuff just doesn't fall out unless the back of your truck is just open unknowingly. So, hey, I don't know.
Yeah, this story smells. This story smells on a million
what
levels. First of
driver?
All, the story is about two people and their kids giving back the money. 95% of the calls we're taking today, people are saying they'll keep that money. There's no way that we just happen to find the 5% of society that's willing to turn that money back in. Now, what I ask you is this. Is the Bay Area more inclined to keep it because of how expensive it is here? For example, if you find that money in Fargo, North Dakota, is Fargo North Dakota or South Dakota?
North Dakota.
Probably should have went with something I understand. Missoula, Montana, know where that is. If you find it there, do you think those people, because of the different situation, not as expensive to live there, they might be more willing to turn it in versus here? Do you think the crazy cost of living here is what's driving the decision-making towards keeping it? Or is it just good old-fashioned greed and we're all suffering from it?
I think it's greed, and I think it just depends on how you were raised. Maybe if you're in Fargo or if you're in Bismarck, South Dakota, it's a little bit more of that homespun, we're looking out for each other kind of ethos, and the fact that $1 million would go a lot further in those situations. But I think people are people, no matter where you're from.
Well, I think we should get there. They may be one of the billions. We should probably get those people on the phone who found the money and ask them if it was a trash bag, would they have handled it differently because it was a UPS bag? I think that's what made the post office. I think that's why they turned it in, Joe. If it wasn't, I think it was just a trash bag or a duffel bag. I don't think we would have not even known about this. I think that's what deterred them. And I wonder what happened to that friggin' driver. Did he get fired? Why? What are we hearing about him?
I can't imagine he got promoted. I mean, you lose $1 million.
You come to work.
We drop an F-bomb, we might be out the door. This guy loses $1 million. I can't imagine it's just, all right, we got to write this one up. But, try to do better.
It's like government work, so he gets written up, if that. Maybe a gentle slap on the wrist. There's no way he gets fired. It's,
you got to fire the guy.
Work.
You can't lose $1 million and keep your job. You can't do that. We're tired of bailing out. The post office has been operating at a loss forever, apparently. Jerry Seinfeld's got a great bit on this in his new stand-up routine. Great bit. Just every 7 years, he said something like every 7 years you hear about how it's all over, post office is going under, we got to bail it out, and then, you know, it just keeps churning along, selling stamps at 31 cents a piece. It's a great bit. But I can't imagine a guy could lose $1 million. How is the post office handling so much cash, by the way, as well? Where is it coming from? Who is giving the... I can't remember the last time I handed the post office cash. I didn't...
Maybe...
Like, where is it coming from? Are people just buying things in bulk? Like, are they showing up at a U.S. post office and buying $10,000 worth of envelopes?
I don't think the money
would order that from somewhere else.
Maybe it's like a bank's money and they're just using the post office to send the money. I don't necessarily think it's the post office money, is it?
I think the post office was taking the cash to the bank. That's what the story says, that the money was being taken to the bank for the post office. So it's like I've seen those armored cars. Money's not falling out of the back of that. People got guns. Was there an armored car used here? There are so many questions to this. I literally believe none of this story. I believe none of it. And yet we've talked about it for almost 2 hours today.
It's great. It's a great. Even if it's just a hypothetical, story. It really is great. Yeah, without a doubt.
So many people. I appreciate the honesty from so many people saying that they would absolutely keep that cash. Like, you get your hands on that cash, they're going for it. That's I figured we'd have a few more Captain You Know What's calling in. Oh no, you gotta turn it in, you gotta do what's right. You see what rents are around these parts?
Jeez, and
landlords
are
about to start getting paid in cash.
Seriously, you know, you make all your payments in cash, and $1 million is not an insignificant amount. It's pretty much life changing for almost everybody.
There's a scorcher if we can get the sizzle on it.
Yeah, can we get the sizzle?
$1 million to change your life a little bit, people.
It won't change Lowe's life, Joe. One out of three people on the show, it's not life-changing for. So when you think about it, when I say it's life-changing for most, it's barely life-changing for the majority of people on this very program. Does $1 million change your life, Joe? $1 million?
Yes, it does.
And it changes mine. Does $1 million? No, it does not. Please. A man who owns multiple buildings. You've got property. You're allowing somebody to just put a billboard on your land. You're giving away thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Joe,
don't
do this. Joe, you made a good point.
Maybe by accident, someone was driving down the street and lost their billboard, and it just blew on the Lowe's property. Maybe no one did that intentionally.
Right.
Dibs, that's really nice. You turned
I rest my case. I turned it right around on
you. You turned that around. I knew Joe was going to. Joe, I was like, Joe, please don't. And you let him bite you.
You did say at the beginning that it would be life-changing for you, that it would be very important. You give 10% to the church, which would be very helpful to them.
Yes.
You'd probably be held up in high regard. Maybe you get up on the donor wall in there so everyone gets to recognize. Like, you could get your own pew. So from a metaphor standpoint, Dibs can be in the same pew as you. Even when you're not with them. That'd be nice. The Lorenzo Neal pew. There's just a pair of drawers in one specific
seat. Good job, Dibs. Good job. You got what you did what you wanted. You accomplished it.
Nice guy. Do you have any Wheel of Fun? We might as well pivot and just get into something else here for a few minutes.
Guten Tag.
Good morning. Welcome to the Wheel of Fun on Joe Lowe and Dibs. And Dibs, I'll start with you on this question. That's a good one. Which athlete do you miss watching on a day-to-day basis, or which athlete were you most looking forward to watching? You could choose basketball or baseball is basically the sports I'm choosing here, but which athlete do you miss? Thank you. Which athlete do you miss watching? Dibs?
Steph Curry would be the one. Just the idea of him being able to pull the trigger from 35 at any moment. Maybe you see a shimmy shake. Maybe you see a buzzer beater, a half-court heave. I've missed seeing that, and not only because of the COVID-19 situation, but also because he's been injured, Steven.
Appreciate it. Well,
he's getting upset.
Hey, Dibs, Hey, Joe, here's a guy going to sit here and talk about Steph Curry, who wasn't really playing this year, who wasn't playing. So how could you miss him?
He was
you
just
didn't really
started.
Get to see him. Yeah, really wasn't playing. So let's be real. And it wasn't.
He was playing
and
you was again.
Wheel of Fun doesn't need to be confrontational. It doesn't have to be confrontational.
Uh-huh.
I know. Here, what, LeBron James, and then on to me.
Please, if we could just get to that part.
Okay. Yes, LeBron James. Why not? Here's a guy, 35 years old, trying to win a title. We miss this guy. What he brings to the game.
Don't
he
say we. Don't say we. Say you.
We.
I was more than happy
swing,
moving
swing,
on.
Swing,
swing,
swing.
We.
Swing.
Joe, what about you?
I'm not. Why do I have to choose from baseball and basketball? Like, three. You know what? Brandon Belt. I really miss Brandon Belt going down looking 3-2.
Jody.
That's what I miss. I'm not going baseball, basketball. I'm going. I'm going to give you an honest answer. I miss Tiger Woods. All right? Tiger Woods won the Masters.
Tiger Woods,
last
year.
Tiger was hot. It looked like he was back. Everything was cooking. I wanted to see what Tiger Woods was going to do. We should have already seen the Masters. I believe, the PGA Championship would have happened, this month? And then we got Father's Day right around the corner, which means the U.S. Open, then the Open Championship. Tiger Woods. I was never even a huge Tiger fan, but now that he was back and he was winning last year, I want to see where he's at. So, yeah, that's the answer. I'm not doing basketball or baseball. It's not Brady. I don't want to see Brady. I don't care for Brady. I've seen enough of Brady. Beat him in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Don't care for him.
You don't want to see Tiger, Manning, Brady, and Phil? Aren't you excited about that, Joe? I was just giving you a Tiger
Phil. When is that, Sunday?
A little bit. It's Sunday, and you're going to be right there in front of the TV watching.
Yeah,
so don't even start.
By the way, lost every bet on NASCAR last night, so all that braggadocio about how hot I was, that's over. I lost them all yesterday.
That
lost
$1 million, you want to find that bag, don't you?
It's painful.
Buy my own NASCAR and go wreck. Who would I wreck? I don't know. Joey Logano, I don't know. There was some guy who wrecked. One of the Bush brothers wrecked Chase Elliott last night, and I had Elliott in one of my bets, I believe, and I'm very upset about that. So I'd wreck the Bush brothers. I'd buy a NASCAR and I'd drive it out and go the opposite way, like Cartman in that one episode of South Park, and I'd wreck the Bush brothers. All right, does Lo know? The mystery guest is next. Back with that. Get ready. Let's see if we can keep it hot here on 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game. The sports station bringing you the biggest names.
We're talking with the familiar voice of Bob Costas, of course, here on 95.7 The Game.
This is one of the best pieces of sports television outside of actual game or event coverage I have ever seen or ever expect to see. Because I don't see how they could have done much better.
Michael Wilbon, ESPN.
It was probably closed. It's Salt Lake City. You guys have been to Salt Lake City on a road trip?
Salt Lake City closes the day before.
Rado, that's a great line.
The Bay Area's number one sports station. 95.7, The Game.
She serves two. Women make up about 16% of the American Armed Forces, and they've got a story to tell. From what it's like to wear the nation's military uniform and break glass ceilings while in the military, to transitioning to civilian life when their tour of duty is complete. Stay connected to the unique perspective of female veterans at ConnectingVets.com.
Whether you were a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine,
ConnectingVets.com.
Hi, this is Matt Jesse, president of MB Jesse Painting, and I have some great news. We are back. My team of over 50 amazing painters is ready to do what we do best, providing awesome painting services for homes and businesses throughout the Bay Area. We are committed to doing every job safely and on time. Contact us today for your free painting estimate. Call 855-MB-JESSE or visit us online at mbjesse.com.
MB Jesse.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible! Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever. So call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.8 8.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one, HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. It's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603-D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I love you, Amy.
The time is now to rise up. Gone are the days of being locked into one data option by your wireless company. We're humans. We need flexibility. Let us change our data options when we want to. It's time we call the shots on our phone bills. It's time we took a stand and switched to Xfinity Mobile. We can switch data options anytime, all online. Only Xfinity Mobile works for the people.
Hey, what about 5G?
Yes, 5G is now included with all new data options at no extra cost. One more thing, pineapple belongs on pizza. It should be on every pizza. Should have quit while I was ahead.
Switch and save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Your wireless, your rules. Only with Xfinity Mobile. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Go to XfinityMobile.com or call 1-800-XFINITY today. Restrictions apply. Requires postpay Xfinity Internet 5G in select locations only.
Cultivators of the cul-de-sac, run with us on a John Deere X370 Select Series lawn tractor. Because yard work is about more than just mowing. It's about moments that last a lifetime. Like when your daughter Emily has a shot at making wiffle ball history on her home turf. And that's why the X370 leaves nothing to chance. With one-touch mulch control technology and attachments for every season. So Emily can knock it out of the park. This is more than just grass. It's the stuff legends are made of. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere X300 for more.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.